Well, Merry Christmas. You know, as a preacher, it's always a challenge to try to say something new, something that will keep the congregation's attention, but will also help teach something. And, you know, it's actually very difficult to preach on some of those bigger feasts, Christmas, Easter. It's actually much easier to preach on just the regular Sundays of ordinary time, because these readings, they're the same readings, and we're all very familiar with the story. We all know what happened. And so I'm going to try to preach tonight on perhaps a little bit less well-known part of the story and really try to draw something out of that. So here goes. In this gospel that we just heard, it says that Mary was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph, her husband, did not know this yet. He didn't know how she was with child. It says simply that he found out that she was with child. It wasn't until the angel appears to him later on in the gospel and explains how it happened. But let's look at what Joseph's response was. I'm going to preach a little bit on Joseph tonight, because it says, Joseph, her husband. Now, let's pause right there. In the Jewish tradition, there was a period of betrothal, which was more than an engagement. You were married, and so you were considered husband and wife, but you didn't live with each other. You did not engage in the marital act. You did not live with each other for a whole year, and then you would actually move in afterward. And that was kind of that period of betrothal. So it's kind of weird because they were married. They were not just engaged. They were truly married. But Joseph has no idea, and of course, he's completely flustered as to how this could happen. What does it say? Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man and yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Now, I don't want to get into a whole homily on divorce, and I'm not going to do that. But I want to make a point here, something that we can very easily miss. We see two things in Joseph that I think we are called to emulate. He was righteous, and because he was righteous, Joseph, since he was a righteous man, because he was a righteous man, he knew that he had to divorce her. He knew that that was his only option. He knew what the law said, and when I say the law, I'm referring to the Jewish law, the first five books of the Old Testament, the Torah. He knew what the law said. That when you get married, it's supposed to be to a virgin. And here he finds that Mary's pregnant. And he knows what the law says. He knows that he has to divorce her. He knows that because he knows the Bible. And he was willing to do that because he was a righteous man, it says. And then it goes on, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, he decided to divorce her quietly. So Joseph, on the one hand, was righteous. He knew what he had to do. He knew what the rules said, and he knew that they were there for a reason, and he was willing to abide by them. And yet at the same time, he wasn't about to beat Mary over the head with the rules. He wanted to show a certain compassion. Imagine, put yourself in his shoes for a minute. Before the angel appeared to him in the next verse and explained how this happened, put yourself in his shoes. Imagine how furious and how livid he must have been. Not just that she broke a rule, but that this would have been an offense to him. You know, we're married and here you go and do this. What an offense that must have been. Imagine how he would have felt. Put yourself in his shoes for a minute. And so the gospel tells us, he decides to divorce her because that's the righteous side of him. He knew what he had to do and he was willing to do it, but he wanted to do it quietly. He didn't want to make a big deal out of it. He didn't want to draw attention to Mary. Yeah, she did something wrong in his mind, but he wanted to handle it quietly and have a certain compassion for her. Now, thank God the angel shows up and explains what happened. And the rest is history. But I think we can learn something from Joseph. And I think we as a church, I think me as a priest, I think I can learn something. And let me. I think you see where I'm going with this. You know, in the world today, there are so many people who could care less about God. And not just about God. There's so many people who could care less about doing good. We see that, especially recently. We see so much of this in the world. And the question to us can be, well, okay, how do we fix this? How do we be the church that we're called to be? How do we respond to this? And I think Joseph is a perfect model. And in fact, Joseph was named by, I think it was Pope John the 23rd, about 67 years ago. He named him the patron saint of the universal church. And I think Joseph teaches us something here, how our response should look when we go into the world. We need to be willing to hold up the truths. We need to be able to say the truth is the truth. There is no such thing as what's right for you is wrong for me, or what's wrong for you is right for me, or what vice versa. No, the truth is the truth. The truth is not relative. We need to go out into the world boldly and preach the truth. We can't back down. We have to be like Joseph. We have to be righteous. We have to be able to point out to people, because there's a whole lot of people who need to hear the truth. But the other side of that is we need to be willing to be convicted of the truth ourselves. We need to be able to hold up the truth about marriage, about life. We need to hold up the truth about human dignity. But at the same time, we can't go around beating people over the head with the truth. That's not going to convert them, right? So we see kind of a fine line. We have to avoid two extremes. We have to avoid the extreme of watering down the truth and just dismissing certain things and saying, well, it's okay if you want to live with each other before marriage. That's fine. I'm not going to call you out on that. It's okay if you think abortion's okay. It's okay if you think same-sex marriage is okay. It's okay if you think all of these other things that are wrong are actually okay. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. No, we can't do that. We can't water down the truth. We can't dismiss it. We need to boldly proclaim it. But we also need to be compassionate about it. We need to do it in a way in which we're not beating people over the head with the truth, right? Those are the two extremes we need to avoid. And again, I think, and I preach to you just as much as I preach to myself. I know as a preacher, it's hard for me to kind of walk that fine line too. I have a hunch, I'm not sure. I have a hunch that there might be maybe just one or two of you here tonight who don't come every single Sunday. I have a hunch that there might be just one or two of you here tonight who only show up Christmas and Easter. And on the one hand, I want to tell you, I want to encourage you, I want to say, thank God you at least came for Christmas and Easter. That's so much better than what a lot of people are doing. It's so much better than what a lot of nominally Catholics are doing. So I want to encourage you and thank you. But on the other hand, I also need to say that's not good enough. You need to be coming every Sunday. God wants a really solid relationship. And we as a parish community want a really solid relationship with you. And it's a fine line for me as a preacher to say, how do I challenge and yet not drive away? We can't just do one or the other. I can't just drive you away by challenging everyone. And at the same time, I can't just excuse sinful behavior, right? There's a fine line. And I think Joseph is kind of the model for us. And so as we celebrate the Christmas season now, as we really thank God for the great gift of himself being a human being, of himself taking on our human nature, I don't want to dismiss any of that. I don't want to dismiss the great role of the Blessed Mother, of anyone else in the Christmas Nativity. But I want to draw special attention to Joseph today. Let's ask for his intercession as the universal patron of the church, that we may always walk that fine line, that we may be willing to be challenged ourselves, but that we may also be willing to challenge others, but always in charity.